بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Last week I missed a very quick point here when he said رحمة الله عليه ويكون أول ما يقع على الأرض منه ركبتاه ثم كفاه ثم جبهته وأنفه. Then he should fall down in prostration while saying the takbir, and he should not raise his hands. Here he said the first part to touch the ground should be his knees, then his palms, then his forehead and nose. This is the part we spoke about, the knees, but we missed that after his knees he needs to put his palms on the ground, then the forehead and the nose. So it has to be in that order. We continue where we stopped at. We said وَيَكُونُ عَلَىٰ أَطْرَافِ قَدَمَيْهِ, meaning in the prostration he should be on the tips of his feet. He should be on the tips of his feet. Of course, the dalil for that, the hadith of Abi Humaid in the description of the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as it is narrated, collected by Bukhari. And in it he said, وَاسْتَقْبَلَ بِأَطْرَافِ أَصَابِعِ رِجْلَيْهِ الْقِبْلَةِ. He turns to the Qibla with the tip of his feet, meaning his toes should be towards the Qibla. The tip of his toes should be towards the Qibla. Now what you need also to remember, that if someone is prostrating, he must remove anything that stops his forehead and his nose from touching the ground. So the sunnah is to do the tamkeen of the forehead on the ground, meaning to make sure that the forehead is flat on the ground for the sujood. Now, can you put something between you and the ground? For example, if you make a prostration on the amama or prostration on piece of a cloth because you cannot prostrate on the ground. Of course, the ijma', as it been narrated by the Nawawi, to directly prostrate on the ground. But if there is stones, or the earth is hard, or it is very hot, or maybe the carpet smells bad, or it is a bit dusty, or it caused someone an asthma or something, then it is allowed to prostrate on something. Here in the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiyallahu anhu, he said, كنا نصلي مع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في شدة الحر فإذا لم يستطع أحدنا أن يمكن جبهته من الأرض بسط ثوبه فسجد عليه. He said, we used to pray with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the extreme heat, and one of us, when he could not prostrate directly on the earth, he would put part of his thawb and he would prostrate on it. So this is a proof that you can prostrate on something. Also, Ibn Qudama rahmatullahi alayh, he allowed it in Al-Mughni. So before we continue here, how the prostration is supposed to be, the prostration has to be the seven limbs on the ground, which is the face, the two hands, the two knees and the two feet, which is with the tip of the toes, and then the hands flat on the ground parallel with the ears. And also then he should separate his arms from his sides and his abdomen from his thighs. As for the feet, is it the sunnah to hold the feet apart or together in the prostration? Of course, the ulama onto two main opinions. The vast majority of the ulama, they said you should separate them as you do separate your knees and your thighs, as you separate your knees and your thighs. And of course the dalil, because of hadith Abi Humaid in Abi Dawood, when he described the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said sajada wa idha sajada farraja bayna fakhdayh. When he prostrates, he separates between his thighs. And also the Shafi'i upon that also, and many ulama, as we said, the majority of the ulama. But the Sheikh Al-Uthaymeen and the Sheikh Al-Albani, rahmatullahi alayhima, they have a hadith here, which is the ulama spoke about, which is hadith al-mu'mineen Aisha radiyallahu anha. She said, فَقَدْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَكَانَ مَعِي عَلَى فِرَاشِي. She said, I missed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, and he was with me on my bed. فَوَجَدْتُهُ سَاجِدًا رَاسًا عَقِبَيْهِ. I found him prostrating, bringing his عَقِبَيْهِ, meaning his feet together. مُسْتَقْبِلًا بِأَطْرَافِ أَصَابِعِهِ الْقِبْلَةِ, turning with his tip of his toes towards the qibla, and so on. The hadith, of course, it is been narrated by Ibn Khuzaymah, Ibn Hibban, Al-Hakim fil Mustadrak, and يعني Al-Hakim said about this is hadith sahih based on the condition of Bukhari and Muslim. Of course, many ulama have said this hadith is authentic. But also Ibn Khuzaymah rahmatullahi alayhi, he said he had a chapter for this hadith, headed the chapter with باب ضم العاقبين في السجود, chapter of bringing the two عقاب, which is the feet, in sujood. So this is the complete way of prostration, and inshallah the hadith, as the ulama have said, it is authentic, then the sunnah to bring the feet together in the sujood. We continue with the imam. يقول رحمه الله ثم يقول سبحان ربي الأعلى ثلاثا. Then he says سبحان ربي الأعلى 3 times. He says سبحان ربي الأعلى ثلاثا. Of course, one is obligatory, mandatory. We'll talk about it inshallah next week. Now, since we're speaking how to pray, then to say سبحان ربي الأعلى 3 times. And we already mentioned the dalil, and we'll talk about the dalil also next week inshallah, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, say subhana rabbi al-a'la, يعني about سبح اسم ربك الأعلى, he said to say it in your sujood, which is next week, we'll talk about it inshallah. He said, ثم يرفع رأسه مكبرا ويجلس مفترشا. Then he should raise his head while making takbir and should sit in iftirash. طيب, الدليل for raising his head مكبراً, the past دليل that we mentioned, the hadith of Abi Huraira. Now, يجلس مفترشاً, what does مفترشاً means? مفترشاً means to lay the left foot on its side and to sit on it, while making the right foot propped up. So, to sit on your left foot, so your left foot becomes like a pillow, where you put your side on it, you sit on it, مُفْتَرِشًا. طيب. Here he said, فَيَفْرِشُ رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى وَيَجْلِسُ عَلَيْهَا وَيَنْصِبُ الْيُمْنَى وَيُثْنِي أَصَابِعَهَا نَحْوَ الْقِبْلَةِ وَيَقُولُ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي ثَلَاثًا ثُمَّ يَسْجُدُ السَّجْدَةَ الثَّانِيَةَ كَالْأُولَى. He said, which means to lay the left foot on its side and to sit on it while making the right foot propped up and bending its toes towards the Qibla, making their tips face the Qibla. Then he said, رَبِّ اغْفِرْلِي, meaning, my Lord, forgive me, 3 times. And he prostrates the second time like the first. Now, the dalil for sitting muftarishan, hadith Abi Humaid in Sifat Salat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is collected by Ahmad and Abu Dawood. He said, ثُمَّ ثَنَى رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى وَقَعَدَ عَلَيْهَا. Then he turned his left foot and he sat on it. And of course, it is also like the same thing like al-julus fi التشهد الأول. The first تشهد, this is how you sit. And this is also, since it is sitting after prostration, this is also how you sit. And you say, رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي 3 times. Of course, the mandatory is one, but 3 times is the sunnah. Then he said he prostrate the second time like the first one. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ مُكَبِّرًا. Then he raises his head saying the takbir because of the previous hadith that we mentioned, the hadith of Abi Huraira. ثُمَّ يَرْفَعُ رَأْسَهُ مُكَبِّرًا. Then he should raise his head while saying takbir. Of course, the dalil for that hadith Abi Huraira. We'll try to reread the hadith at the end of the lesson today, inshallah. And then he said, وَيَنْهَدُ قَائِمًا فَيُصَلِّ الثَّانِيَةَ كالأولى. Then he stand up to pray the second rak'ah, the second one, like the first one exactly. Because he said to al-musi salatuh, the one who did not pray properly. Also this hadith will recite up on your ears inshallah next week, because we're going to need it for the pillars and the mandatory acts of salat. He said, when he told him how to pray, he said, ثُمَّ فَعَلْ ذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. Then do like this, meaning this way you do the sujood and the ruku' in all of your salat. Of course, this is with the consensus of the scholars. فَإِذَا فَرَغَ مِنْهُمَا جَلَسَ لِلتَّشَهُدِ مُفْتَرِشًا. When he is done with both, he should sit down in iftirash for the tashahud. So when he finish the second one, he needs to sit down muftarish for the tashahud. And we have already explained how to do the tashahud. وَيَضَعُ يَدَهُ الْيُسْرَى عَلَى فَخِذِهِ الْيُسْرَى وَيَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى عَلَى فَخِذِهِ الْيُمْنَى. He said, then should sit down in iftirash for the tashahud. He should put his left hand on his left thigh and his right hand on the right thigh. How is that? The dalil of this hadith that is collected by Muslim, hadith Abdullah ibn Zubayr, and in it he said, وضع يده اليسرى على ركبته اليسرى ووضع يده اليمنى على فخذه اليمنى. He put his left hand on his left knee and he put his right hand on his right thigh. So the hand is on the thigh and the right hand is on the thigh and the left hand is on the knee, meaning the tip of the hand goes round down towards the knee. And he said also that he is hadith Ibn Umar also in Muslim. He said, وَيَدَهُ الْيُسْرَى عَلَى رِكْبَتِهِ الْيُسْرَى بَاسِطُهَا عَلَيْهَا. And his left hand on his left knee, flat on it. So, as you see. Here he said, يَقْبِضُ مِنْهُمَا الْخُنْصَرَ وَالْبُنْصَرَ وَيُحَلِّقُ الْإِبْهَامَ مَعَ الْوُسْطَى. He should fold down his little finger with the ring finger, make a circle with the middle finger and the thumb. So here again, how he does it? He should fold down the little finger with the ring finger. So the two together folded down and make a circle with the third one using the thumb and point with the index finger. وَيُحَلِّقُ الْإِبْهَامَ مَعَ الْوُسْطَى وَيُشِيرُ بِالسَّبَّابَةِ فِي تَشَهُدِهِ مِرَارًا. He said, and points with the index finger several times during the tashahud. So here the issue. How does he do his tashahud? His finger, which is the index finger, has to be straight, pointing towards the qibla. And he said, rahimahullah, he points with it في تشهده مرارا, several times during the تشهد. Of course, you have the hadith of Ibn Umar in Sahih Muslim, وقبض أصابعه كلها, and he grabs his fingers, all of them. And then more description in hadith Abdullah ibn Zubayr, he said, ووضع إبهامه على إصبعه الوسطى. He put his thumb onto his middle finger. As for moving the finger in the tashahud, of course, وَيُشِيرُ بِالسَّبَّابَ, he points with it. The ahadith of pointing with it are many. You have the hadith of Abdullah ibn Umar in Sahih Muslim. He said, وَأَشَارَ بِإِصْبَعِهِ, and he points with his finger. Also the Sa'd, he said, as for moving the finger in the tashahud, يُحَرِّكُهَا, which is narrated in Hadith Wa'il ibn Hijr, the ulama in this adding, يُحَرِّكُهَا, he moves it, they have differed. Many ulama have said this riwayah is shadha. Shadha means it is irregular, it testifies to the weakness of this addition in the hadith which is يُحَرِّكُهَا, because many ulama like Sufyan al-Thawri, Shu'ba, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, Abu al-Ahwas, also many other ulama who narrated this hadith, and they're all great thiqat, up to 10 different narrations, none of them they said يُحَرِّكُهَا, none of them they said, so the ulama took from this, it's a ziyada, an addition in the narration that is shadha, irregular, rejected. So the sunnah is to point with it. I believe the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, that you do not move it, you only point with it straight with the sababa. But to move it, the dalil of it is incorrect because of the shudhudh. Regardless, the ulama, some ulama have accepted this and adopted this, and there is no issue, inshaAllah. But you have to remember, pointing with your finger, your index finger, it is something many ulama have said, or actually the ijma', that it is mustahab. Mustahab, and only some of the ahnaf have said it is not so, but majority of the ulama have said it is mustahab to point with your index finger. And you say, التحيات والصلوات والطيبات السلام عليك أيها النبي ورحمة الله وبركاته السلام علينا وعلى عباد الله الصالحين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. And this is the most authentic of what is being narrated from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the تشهد. We go through the meaning of this. Of course, this is narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, and many and some of the scholars have said it is mutawatir, يعني multiply narrated from the scholars. At-tahiyyatu lillah, mean all types of glorification are to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At-tahiyyat, praise and glorification. As-salawat, which is the dua, and here of course, the salat that you do 5 times a day, it is the best of obligation, the best of ibadat. والطيبات, every good saying and every good act and every good attribute is directed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning every word good that you say, it is to Allah. Every act that you do, it is to Allah. Every sifa, every trait that you have is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As-salamu alayka ayyuha an-nabi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Peace be upon you, O Prophet, and the mercy of Allah and the blessing of Allah. Of course, here it is khabar bima'na du'a. What does it mean? You are really making a du'a to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I heard some students of knowledge saying, you can't say assalamu alayka ayyuha nabi. You should say assalamu ala nabi, because Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu said, we used to say before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, and after his death we started to say assalamu ala an-nabi. Of course here, assalamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, because you're calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and some of them said that could lead to open the door, people calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course it is not the case, and this is not the case in this matter here. As-sahih, what is correct is to say in your tashahud, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, because this is what it's been confirmed in the authentic ahadith. And if that contains shirk, why would Umar radiyallahu anhu on mimbar, he teaches the companions this dua? So they heard it from Umar radiyallahu anhu on the mimbar to say As-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi. Also, if this is the case, طيب, why the companions radiyallahu anhum, when they were in different countries, when the Prophet ﷺ used to send them far away from him, and they used to say innu salat as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabi, so isn't that also calling upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam whilst he's not there? So how do you draw this logic? So what is being narrated from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud that they used to say after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as-salamu ala al-nabi, it is from the ijtihad Ibn Mas'ud and others who are more knowledgeable than Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, like Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, as we mentioned, and it is collected in Muwatta' Malik that he used to teach them on the minbar. And also Aisha radiyallahu anha used to teach the same dua. And also the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew that he is going to die, and he would teach him the tashahud as he would teach him an ayah from the Quran. Yet Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach them, never told them, after I die, say assalamu ala nabi. So as we understand that there is an ijtihad from Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu about the matter, and we leave it to that. We continue where he said, then you say assalamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi as-salihin. As-salam mean peace, from peace and safety from every evil in this dunya and in the hereafter. So you're really making dua to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to the ibad as-salihin to remove from them any evil in this dunya and to keep him safe in this dunya and in the hereafter. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمداً عبده ورسوله. The normal shahada. Now here, remember that you are making dua in the tashahud to every abd that is salih, every righteous slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reaching him your salam. Imagine how many hasanat. If we have 1.5 billion Muslims, only out of 1.5 billion Muslims, 10% salih, you do the math, you see how many rewards you get in every tashahud in your salat. So the reward of the salat, ya ikhwah, is so enormous, and subhanallah al-azim. Thumma yaqul, then he says, in tashahud, then he should say, in tashahud, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, إنك حميد مجيد وبارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. You say that in the last tashahud, and we'll talk about whether it's obligatory or whether it's mandatory or it is a pillar in the next lesson inshallah. So he said, you say in the tashahud al-akhir this dua. The meaning of Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, the meaning of it is a salat, which is from Allah towards His prophets and messengers. It is to praise them in front of the close angels and to increase the status of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase His praises and remembrance in the world, and he gives him more azama, more glory and honor. Wa ali Muhammad, of course, wa ali Muhammad to two meaning. Imam Ahmad says the al, if it is mentioned, everyone who's from the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the opinion of Imam Ahmad, because the ayat in the Quran says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala drowned al Fir'aun. Ala Fir'aun, of course, here, the followers of Fir'aun. Also, the second opinion says, the believers from the blood relation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the sadaqah, is haram upon them. They are Banu Hashim and the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam included in that. Kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Hamid mean, oh Allah, you deserve all the praises, and majid, which is all the honor, is to you, O Allah. Wabarak ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, and so on. And here, wabarak, the al-baraka linguistically means increase. So to increase the blessings upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ali Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here he said, ويستحب أن يتعوذ من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات ومن فتنة المسيح الدجال, as the hadith is narrated in Sahih Muslim. So it is mustahab, recommended, to seek refuge with Allah from the torment of the grave, the torment of the hellfire, the tribulation of this life and death, and the tribulation of the false Messiah. Of course, the tribulation of this dunya means all the fitna of this dunya and whatever it contains. And you see, these are some of the most scariest fitan in the life of the Muslim, which is the fitna of the torment of the grave, and also from the fire of Jahannam. And all of your salat and all of your ibadah and everything you do, you are really asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you from azab Jahannam. وَفِتْنَةِ الْمَحْيَا. So we don't get too caught up in this dunya and in the fitna of dunya. And the mamat mean the fitna at the time of death, and when we are questioned in our grave. وَفِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. If we leave to face al-Masih al-Dajjal, we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from this great fitna. Then here he said, ثُمَّ يُسَلِّمُ عَلَى يَمِينِهِ السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَعَنْ يَسَارِهِ كَذَلِكَ. Then he makes taslim by saying السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ, while looking to the right side and then doing the same to the left. Of course, we'll talk about which is sunnah, which is mandatory, next week, insha'Allah. But when you do the taslim, it is being narrated that you could see the cheek. If someone behind you, he can see your cheek. So you'll turn all the way where your sight is on your side, as if you are looking at your shoulder. So you turn it that way. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. You turn to the right. It is not halfway, it's all the way until your face will become parallel to your shoulder. And if someone is sitting behind you, he can see your cheek. And then he said, وَإِن كَانَتِ الصَّلَاةُ أَكْثَرَ مِنْ رَكْعَتَيْنِ نَهَضَ بَعْدَ التَّشَهُّدِ كَنُهُوضِهِ مِنَ السُّجُودِ. He said, if the prayer is more than two rak'ahs, he should stand up after the first tashahud, as he did when he stood up from prostration. So if it is more than two rak'at, then he stand up after he did with the first tashahud. Of course, here when he stand up, he raises his hand with the takbir. And the dalil, the hadith that is collected in Bukhari, hadith Ibn Umar, in it he said, وَإِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ رَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ. When he raises from the two rak'at, he raises his hands. Also the hadith that is collected by Abu Dawood, إِذَا قَامَ مِنَ الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ كَبَّرَ وَرَفَعَ يَدَيْهِ حَتَّى يُحَاذِيَ بِهِمَا مَنْكِبَيْهِ. He said, when he rises from the two rak'at, he makes the takbir and raises his two hands until they are parallel to his shoulders, as he would do, كما كبر عند افتتاح الصلاة, as he would do when he started the salat. As you see here, it is sunnah to raise your hands when you get up from the first tashahud. And he said here, ثم يصلي ركعتين لا يقرأ فيهما بعد الفاتحة شيئا. Of course, when you get up to second rak'ah, the third rak'ah, or the fourth rak'ah, it is mustahab to get up on the bottom of your feet, leaning on your with your hands on your thighs or your knees, as it is being narrated from a big group from the companions in Musannaf Abi Shaybah, some of them Mas'ud ibn Zubayr. But if someone needs to lean on the ground to get up because he's old or sick or has a problem, of course there is no issue in that. Now there is a hadith, it's called Hadith Al-Ajan. Al-Ajan is when they make the dough, they pressure it and they press it with their fist, and that's called Ajan. Now there is a hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he used to get up with the salat leaning on his hand as if he is doing Ajan. Now this hadith, the ulama differed in its authenticity. Many ulama, like Ibn Salah, Ibn Rajab, they said it is a weak hadith and it is not to be attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the Shaykh al-Albani said it is authentic and Allahu a'lam. But as we know, يعني the hadith, wallahu a'lam, it is weak, as many ulama have said it is weak, the hadith of Al-Ajan. Hence, when you get up, it is narrated from many companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they used to get up leaning on their thighs, meaning putting their hands on their thighs and knees to get up, and if someone in need to lean on the ground, there is no issue in that, insha'Allah. Also, there is a hadith in the Tirmidhi, hadith Abi Huraira, which is has some weakness on it. Yani also testifies that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do so. And the Tirmidhi said about this hadith, hadithu Abi Huraira alayhi al-amalu inda ahli al-ilm. The hadith of Abu Huraira, the scholars used to act upon it as al-Imam al-Tirmidhi said. ثم يصلي ركعتين لا يقرأ فيهما بعد الفاتحة شيئا. Then he prays two rak'at, he does not read anything after the Fatiha, as it is being narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Bukhari and Muslim, hadith Abi Qatada radiyallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana yaqra'u fi al-rak'atayn al-akhiratayn Fatiha al-kitab min al-dhuhri wal-asri. So here in the hadith of Qatada, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to read in the last two rak'at from dhuhr and asr only the Fatiha. And of course the scholars said same thing would be for the Maghrib and Ni'isha. It also follows the Dhuhr and the Asr. And then here he said, فَإِذَا جَلَسَ لِلتَّشَهُّدِ الْأَخِيرِ تَوَرَّكَ فَنَصَبَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى وَفَرَشَ الْيُسْرَى وَأَخْرَجَهَا عَنْ يَمِينِهِ. Then when he sits for the last tashahud, he should sit in tawarruk. So he flexes his right foot and lays the left foot on its side and makes it come out from underneath the right leg. So here he said, rahimahullah, in the last rak'ah you see the tawarruk. Tawarruk means sitting on the wirk. On the wirk is your side. So here you sit on your left side whilst your right foot is propped up and your left foot comes from under your shin. And it comes out, the tip of your toes come out from outside the shin on the right hand side. So you are sitting on your side and your left foot goes all the way under the shin and the toes come out from the side of the shin. This is called at-tawarruk. And the dalil for that, hadith in Bukhari, which is we already narrated, عن أبي حميد الساعد رضي الله عنه. He said that وَإِذَا جَلَسَ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْآخِرَةِ قَدَّمَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُسْرَى وَنَصَبَ الْأُخْرَى وَقَعَدَ عَلَى مَقْعَدَتِهِ. He said when he used to sit in the last rak'ah, he brings his left foot forward and he props up the right one or the second one, and he sits on his backside, which is on his left side, طيب. And then he said, وَلَا يَتَوَرَّكُ إِلَّا فِي صَلَاةٍ فِيهَا تَشَهُدَانِ فِي الْأَخِيرِ مِنْهُمَا. He said he should only make tawarruk in a prayer that has two tashahuds, and he does so in the second of them. Of course, this is here the opinion of the Hanabila. The opinion of the Hanabila that the tawarruk is done in a salat that has two tashahud only, which is the dhuhr, the asr, the maghrib, and the isha. But if a salat has one tashahud, meaning only two rak'at, like the fajr and the two rak'at of sunan, and so on, they said you do not do the tawarruk, only sit iftirash, as we mentioned. As for the Shafi'iyyah, they say in every last tashahud, you do the tawarruk. Meaning, in every salat, the last tashahud has tawarruk in it. Of course, the dalil here, that used by the Shafi'iyyah, they said that the tashahud al-akhir, like any other tashahud. And that's why, because the hadith says, yani the hadith says in it fi rak'at al-akhira, in the last rak'ah, and that's a general. So in every last rak'ah, you should sit tawarruk. Of course, Ibn Qudama rahmatullahi alayhi, to see which is the most correct opinion, Ibn Qudama rahmatullahi alayhi, he said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as in the hadith of Wa'il ibn Hijr, when he jalas lit tashahud, iftarash rijlahu al-yusra wa nazhaba rijlahu al-yumna, that when the Prophet ﷺ used to sit for the tashahud, he would do iftirash on the left and he props up the right. And here he said, there is no difference between what you give taslim in and what you do not give taslim in. And Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that in every rak'atayn, he used to say the tahiyyat and he used to do iftirash for the left and props up the right. So here he said, Ibn Qudama, just trying to summarize without going into too much details, in the Mughni, he's saying here is every time you're doing tashahud, you're sitting for the tashahud, you should do iftirash, sit on the left and prop up the right. Unless there is a dalil to prove so. And then we bring the dalil here, he said, and the dalil that we prove the tawarruk is the hadith of Abi Humaid in the second tashahud. In the second tashahud. So he's saying the basic principle for you to sit iftirash in every tashahud, except if there is a proof to change, and the proof that came to tell us to change and to sit tawarruk is the hadith of Abi Humaid, which is specifically says in the second tashahud. In the second tashahud. So hadith Abu Humaid was talking about the second tashahud, and that is the closest, wallahu alam, the opinion of the Hanabila in the issue of tawarruk. فَإِذَا سَلَّمَ اسْتَغْفَرَ اللَّهَ ثَلَاثًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ السَّلَامُ وَمِنْكَ السَّلَامُ تَبَارَكْتَ يَا ذَا الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. This is collected by Sahih Muslim. Here he said when he makes taslim, he should say astaghfirullah, I seek Allah's forgiveness three times, and also he says Allahumma anta as-salam wa minka as-salam tabarakta ya dhal jalali wal ikram. O Allah, you are the one above all deficiencies and defect. Also another meaning, you are the giver of peace, and from you comes peace. Blessed are you, O Lord of majesty and generosity. Of course, the istighfar after the salat, the istighfar after the salat is so important, because you can never pray perfectly. So when you do your istighfar, you are really asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive you for any mistake that you have done in the salat. Now, before I seal my lesson today, I have 2 points quickly I want to do. The first point, I want to reread for you the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu that is collected in Bukhari and Muslim. And then I also want to talk about Jalsat al-Istiraha. The hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا قام إلى الصلاة يكبر حين يقوم. When the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to stand up to the salat, he used to make takbir when he stands up. ثم يكبر حين يركع. Then he makes takbir when he goes into bowing. ثم يقول سمع الله لمن حمده. Then he says سمع الله لمن حمده حين يرفع صلبه من الركوع. When he raises his back from the bowing. ثم يقول وهو قائم. Then he says when he's standing up, ربنا ولك الحمد. ثم يكبر حين يهوي ساجدا. Then he makes takbir when he fall down into prostration. ثم يكبر حين يرفع رأسه. Then he makes takbir when he raises his head. ثم يكبر حين يسجد. Then he makes takbir when he prostrates. ثم يكبر حين يرفع رأسه. Then he makes takbir when he raises his head. ثم يفعل مثل ذلك في الصلاة كلها. Then he does that in the salat, all of it, حتى يقضيها, until he finishes it. ويكبر حين يقوم من الثنتين بعد الجلوس. Then he makes takbir when he gets up from the two after he was sitting. The last point I want to talk about before I seal the lesson today, which is Jalsatul Istiraha. Jalsatul Istiraha, it is when you get up from the sujood to stand up. So after the second sujood, you sit for a small amount of time to get the tuma'nina, to get tranquility, and then you stand up. Now some ulama, they said it is not Jalsat Ta'abbud. Some ulama, it is said it is just to rest. And that's why they said it's only done when you need it. Like when you're tired, when you need it, or if someone grows and puts on extra weight, or he grows old, or he has some pain in his knees, he cannot stand up from the sujood to the upright position straight away. He needs to sit and then stand up. That is the first opinion. And of course they said that many of the narrations that describe the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not describe to us or include this jalsa of istiraha. And of course this first opinion is the opinion of Ibn Qudama, also Ibn al-Qayyim, and many other Hanabila, and it is the opinion of the majority of the Hanabila. The famous opinion to the Hanabila, the fatwa upon in the Hanbali madhab, that it is not sunnah at all. It is not sunnah at all. And of course, as we said, Ibn Qudama rahmatullah alayhi wa Ibn al-Qayyim, and also from the later ulama was the Uthaymeen rahmatullahi alayhim jami'an. The other opinion that based it on the hadith in Bukhari. On the hadith in Bukhari, here the hadith Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when praying, he said, فَإِذَا كَانَ فِي وِتْرٍ مِّن صَلَاتِهِ لَمْ يَنْهَضْ حَتَّى يَسْتَوِي قَاعِدًا. Meaning, he would not stand up until he يَسْتَوِي قَاعِدًا, until he sits upright. Meaning, he sits before he stands up. And this is an indication and a proof for جَلْسَةِ الْإِسْتِرَاحَة. And they said here, the ulama, they said that al-asl, the basic principle, that whatever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does in the ibadah is as a ibadah, meaning it is a ibadah. In this jalsa, it is a ibadah from the ibadat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Any action from the ibadah, from the worship that he does, it is a legislation, it is a ibadah until proven otherwise. So they said, the Prophet ﷺ said, as Malik ibn al-Huwayrith narrated, so unless otherwise you can prove that it is not ibadah, it is just done because of old age or because he was sick sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it is a clear dalil, it is because of that, we say it is not sunnah. Of course, the Shafi'i, and also one narration from Ahmad, that it is a sunnah. But Allahu A'lam, the Dalil of the Hanabila, it is stronger, because many of the narrations, they said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did not do Jalsat al-Istiraha. So if it is Amr Ta'abudi, if it is something that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam done as a mean of worship, it would has been narrated in multiple narration as many acts of the Salat from different companions who described the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, like for example raising the hand, like the sitting between the two sujood, and so on. Many of the narrations, they narrated to us that he did those acts, but this act by itself to come through Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, we say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam done this for a need, and it is not mustahab. Unless someone needs it, he can do it. The second opinion, they said the basic principle that everything that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, af'alun nabi, innu salat, to be for tashri', meaning it is a legislation and it becomes a ibadah. The other party came back and said, but the majority, all the narrations, most of the narrations that describe to us how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed, none of them mentioned that he said Jalsat al-Istiraha or he sat for it. Except here we have this specific narration, Malik ibn al-Huwayrith, he said, he described that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam istawa qa'idan, he sat before he stood up to recite. So here they said it has to be li'arid, to something, maybe he had some pain or grew a little bit older, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and so on. And that is the correct opinion, wallahu a'lam, which is the opinion of the majority of the Hanabila, and the well-known opinion to the Hanabila, that it is not sunnah. Otherwise, if it was sunnah of the sunan of salat, it will be narrated to us from multiple narrations, and the ones who described the Salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they would have described it for us, not only come in one odd hadith, even if it is authentic. And we seal with that. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdik. Nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.